Tony Penna. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Melissa.
Tony Penna, enrollment in Florida has been remarkable. Nearly 500,000 Floridians have signed up under healthcare.gov for health coverage under the Affordable Care Act, this despite the state being notably hostile to this legislation. Why do you think Florida has seen such a surge in enrollment?
Well, Melissa, it seems pretty obvious that a lot of people need health insurance coverage. There are 3.9 million people in Florida who are uninsured. And we are seeing dramatic numbers and dramatic enrollment numbers. As you said, we're close to 500,000 people in the state of Florida who now have insurance because of the Affordable Care Act.
Now, the state's Republican leaders, at every turn, they have expressed their opposition to your presence in the state. They've barred navigators. Those are people that try to help sign you up. They've barred them from county health departments. There have been no state dollars spent on this, no state exchange in particular. That's significant. States that set up their own exchange have had a smoother time with this. Why has Florida then been able to, do you think, overcome some of these hurdles and successfully sign so many people up?
We have a very strong ground game. We have a number of organizers out there working in major cities who are organizing large-scale enrollment events. This past weekend in Jacksonville, as an example, we had an event yesterday at the Gateway Mall where about 550 people showed up to get coverage. The day before, we had an event at Southside Middle School where about 250 people showed up to get coverage. So we're getting the word out. People are understanding where they can go to enroll, and they're showing up in mass numbers to do that.
And you were involved with the Obama Field Organization during the 2012 campaign. A lot of those people stayed on the ground in this, and this is the swing state of all swing states. So much effort was spent here during the 2012 election. How much of that aspect of this is contributing to the surge in enrollment in Florida? The fact that those field organizers, including yourself, stayed in Florida and kept working on this issue?
Well, you know, it's interesting. What happened in 2012 during the Obama campaign was that the field organizers lived in Florida and stayed in Florida. I've been a Jacksonville resident now for 27 years, so I know the community. What we've also found is that a lot of the volunteers who helped us during the campaign have volunteered for this effort also. So it's not like we had to go out and establish a whole new volunteer network.
And today's the deadline, March 31st, for most Americans to enroll for coverage under the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. If not, you face a penalty. We'll go to your calls and questions about this looming deadline. It's midnight tonight at 549-2937. Tell us about what's going to be happening last minute today across North Florida.
Actually, there's a large event going on right now, and that event is being run with Enroll America and the Florida Multi-Lines Agency Care Team. It's taking place at Jacksonville Total Care at 1126 University Boulevard. Dr. Uche has been a big supporter and has wanted to set up a large event. So we've got tents in his parking lot, and we've got people already showing up to enroll.
And what would you say to those who... It's the law of the land. It's not likely to be repealed, although if Republicans do take the Senate this fall, we can certainly see major moves to alter parts of this legislation. What would you say to those listening out there who, as polls show, this law remains deeply divisive? About half of Americans still feel that it was a bad idea. What would you say to those who, even if they are uninsured, and we get calls like this all the time, we get calls from people who are uninsured, but philosophically they're not going to sign up because they just don't agree with the law and its intent?
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask that question. Yesterday we had a gentleman and his wife show up, and he was wearing a T-shirt that made it pretty obvious that he was not a big supporter of President Obama. But
what did it say?
Really can't say.
You can't say on the radio?
Right.
Okay.
But what he did was he came and he enrolled for insurance. As he walked out, he told me that his premium was going to be $10 a month. He still didn't support the president, really didn't support the health care law, but got insurance.
He went ahead and got it.
He went ahead and got it.
Now, let me ask you this, Tony. For every success story of an uninsured person who is so thankful to have this coverage, there have been stories of others who have seen their premiums go up or have been forced to change plans. There are aspects of the law that still are politically difficult for President Obama. What about those problems with the law?
Well, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people had catastrophic coverage, and that really didn't conform to the basics of the healthcare law. So let's talk about the basics of the healthcare law as an example. The most basic plan under the Affordable Care Act has to offer hospitalization, emergency room coverage, physician's visits, diagnostic testing, prescription drugs, maternity care. So a lot of people had health plans that didn't offer even those basics. We would categorize them as catastrophic plans. Since they didn't conform, the Affordable Care Act says that you need to get a plan that does conform, that at least offers those basic benefits.
Lots of calls, meanwhile. Today's March 31st. It's the last day for most Americans to get covered, get health insurance if you don't already have it, under the Affordable Care Act or face a penalty. What are your questions? What are your comments? We want your calls, 549-2937, to join us. Let's begin with Paul in Orange Park. Hi, Paul. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Bessie. Thank you for taking the bull by the horns here. I'd like to run down a couple quick points about this. Number one, since President Obama got elected, 50% of the population doesn't like anything he does. And so, you know, that's part of the problem right there. Number two, people insist on calling it Obamacare. President Obama wrote his recommendations and sent them to the Congress. If the Congress found that they needed to be revised, they should have revised them before they passed it into law. Number four, most of the issues that people are arguing about now either should have been covered before or were covered before, but nobody paid attention to them because it's just the way things were. Yeah, I mean, key issues are abortion, and if you were to splice out that little piece of your premium that goes for abortion, you'd find out maybe you're paying $2 a month for that coverage. I think the politics of Congress is a much worse problem than the Affordable Health Care Act. And unless and until the Congress begins to work together in a sane way, putting price controls on prescription drugs. We have a 94-year-old grandmother who received six tablets of Lunesta, and it cost over $600 for six tablets of Lunesta, a sleeping pill.
Yeah,
but they'll sell the same drug over in Africa for 10 cents.
Yeah,
so you know, there's a lot we can do.
Thank you, Paul. So, Tony Penna, the polling shows that a majority of Americans still are not in favor of the Affordable Care Act, but at the same time, they don't want to see it repealed. At this point, Americans who remain skeptical of the law, mostly when polled, they're saying, let's work on the aspects of it that we don't like. What about that? What about the polarization that Paul mentioned in terms of how Congress really is not able to come together to address these concerns?
Well, you know, there's a couple of interesting facts here. 50% of the people in the country don't like the Affordable Care Act, but 70% of the people like the fact that if you have a pre-existing condition, you can now get insurance. 80% of the people like the fact that an insurance plan can no longer kick you off your policy when you get ill. 90% of the people in this country like the fact that children can stay on their parents' policies until the age of 26. So, yes, Obamacare is a polarizing name, if you will, but certain aspects, most aspects of the law, when broken down and separated from the word Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, are very popular in this country.
And what do you attribute that to?
Well, I think it's to it really goes to a lack of knowledge on a lot of people's parts, and also to what Paul said. President Obama is a very polarizing figure to a lot of people.
Lots of calls, emails, and tweets, meanwhile, about the deadline. It's today to enroll for coverage under the Affordable Care Act, 549-2937. Let's go to Eva in Clay County. Hello, Eva. How are you today? All right, Eva, give us a call back. Carl in Pontevedra is on the line. Hello, Carl. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello?
Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, I was just calling to say the Affordable Care Act has really been a blessing for me. I could not get insurance. When I did get insurance, I was just terribly underinsured. And if it wasn't for the Affordable Care Act, I wouldn't have insurance today. And so I'm really happy about that. But the only thing I'm upset about is the cost. I mean, the cost, I feel like there's no competition in Jacksonville. Everything is Blue Cross, Blue Shield. I mean, that's the only drawback to it. It's nice to have insurance, but the price is pretty prohibitive.
What are you paying, Carl?
It's a little over $1,200 a month.
And before you were uninsured?
I get very underinsured. I had insurance, but it basically only covered my head.
Okay.
It didn't cover any other part of my body. But so there's you know, it's kind of a mixed blessing.
Mixed bag for you. All right. And Carl,
yes.
Thank you for that. Thanks for your call. So Tony, in the long term, this law's staying power, I think, will be measured by if people can gain good coverage that's also affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And that remains an open question.
Yeah. Carl, a couple of things that I just want to point out. In our area, there are three companies that offer insurance. There's Florida Blue, Aetna, and Coventry. So there's competition among those three companies. And there are lower rates available, I think. In terms of people not being covered, let me give you an example. I've got a son who's got Crohn's disease, and he was uninsurable. I worked for Blue Cross, for Florida Blue, for 25 years. I retired from Florida Blue. And when I retired, lo and behold, we found out that he was uninsurable because of his pre-existing condition. He now has insurance. So when you take a look at the cost of his insurance versus not having insurance with that kind of a disease, the cost, when you look at it in those terms, the cost is not all that expensive.
Now let me ask you as well, you say your son is now covered. What are the numbers like in Florida for young and healthy people signing up? Because the argument has always been that for the older and sicker to have affordable premiums, the young and healthy have to sign up in large numbers, too.
Yeah. To your point, 500,000 people roughly have enrolled in Florida. And the last number that we saw from Health and Human Services was about 28% of those people are under 30 years old.
And is that about what you're hoping for in terms of a percentage?
You know, frankly, I don't know. I don't know what Health and Human Services' mm-hmm. goal is in that area.
And let's go back to Eva in Clay County. She's tried us back. Hey, Eva, thanks for calling back.
Hi. Good morning. I'm a stay-at-home mom of six kids. My husband is a public school teacher. And when the Affordable Care Act became available, I was really excited because for most of our parenting life, we have been unable to afford insurance. It's 40% of my husband's income every year if we wanted to have everyone covered by the county plan.
Right.
And with the last 2 years, we qualified for fifth year, and it has been amazing. I love it. And everything was covered, and it was wonderful. It was great. And last week, we received a letter saying we no longer qualify because we go $300 over the monthly limit. they changed their limit.
Uh-huh.
And so we went to go enroll on the healthcare.gov and to look at that. And we don't qualify because we qualify for Medicaid. But the Medicaid we qualify for isn't really insurance. It's for medically needy people. It's basically catastrophic insurance. It's $4,000 a month deductible. And
right.
That starts over every month.
And Eva, I believe the reason you don't qualify is because the state refused to expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act.
Right. So what but now we can't get any insurance.
Now you can't get insurance. Yeah, you fall into that hole.
And I mean, I'm just wondering what are there options for people like that?
Sure. And there are thousands of others like you around the state. Eva, thanks for sharing your story. That's okay. Eva down in Clay County. So, Tony, what about that?
To your point, there's a donut hole in Florida.
It's called a donut. It's a new donut hole.
It is a new donut hole. Florida chose not to expand Medicaid. And because of that, a lot of people like Eva fall into that donut hole. We have a number of people coming to enrollment events who make, as a single individual, less than $11,600. If you make less than $11,600, you qualify for Medicaid, and you don't qualify for the Affordable Care Act. Problem is that even though you qualify for Medicaid, because we didn't expand Medicaid in the state of Florida, you can't get it. And so there are a lot of people in Eva's situation.
There are local nonprofits that try to help Eva. Mm-hmm. Volunteers in Medicine here in Jacksonville is one of them that I suggest you call. But what are her options?
Those are our only options at this point.
Is to go to a private entity like Volunteers in Medicine and hope for the best.
Yes.
Let's go to Maria in Flagler County. Hi, Maria. What's your story? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling because I work in the field a little bit. I'm an agent. And what's so sad is that a lot of people are not really familiar with the facts on the Affordable Care Act. And I've had people come to me and just saying that they don't like it at all and had no idea. And they qualify for some of the subsidies. And it's just the misinformation that goes out there that these people are basing their decisions on either applying for it or not. And the other is absolutely correct what your other caller said, because the governor of the state of Florida did not embrace the Affordable Care Act. The expansion on Medicaid is not available to those in need.
And, you know, Maria, Governor Scott did eventually change his mind about that and did say he wants to take the federal money to expand Medicaid. It's the state legislature that has decided against that.
It's really sad for the citizens of the state of Florida that qualify for some of these subsidies or even qualify for the Medicaid that is not really available. It's really a sad state of affairs, I feel.
Thank you for the call, Maria. Here's a tweet from a listener. What about Florida Health Choices? That is an alternative that was proposed by state lawmakers to the Affordable Care Act. That I believe, is not up and running at quite the same level yet, although I do believe lawmakers are working on that. And here is a comment on our Facebook page. Do enrollment statistics consider veterans who recently enrolled in the VA health program? I was going to wait until I hit 60, but I enrolled recently because it would exempt me from that not covered fine. I'm assuming there are others like me.
It doesn't include veterans benefits at all. So if you qualify for veterans benefits, that's separate and apart from the 500,000 people in the state of Florida who have enrolled for the Affordable Care Act.
Hope that answers your question. That's Joe on our Facebook page. And lots of calls, meanwhile, about the Obamacare deadline today at 549-2937. Judy in Arlington is on the line. Hi, Judy.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks.
I'm confused about what the meaning is for the Affordable Care Act. I'm a senior citizen, I have well care, and when I moved to Florida, they suggested well care or Humana. I have Medicare, and I signed for Medicaid. Does that mean that I also need to enroll?
Let's ask our enrollment expert, Tony.
No, Judy, it does not. You are covered. You're covered by Medicaid, and you're covered by Medicare.
Judy, I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
All right. What are the most common questions you get, by the way? about this?
Questions such as that.
That's a very common
A very common question. Yeah. I'm 65 years old. I'm on Medicare. Do I need to enroll? And the answer to that is no. I'm a veteran. Do I get veterans benefits? Do I need to enroll? And the answer to that is no also.
Okay. Sharon on the South Side is on the line. Hello, Sharon. Good morning.
Hello, good morning. My question actually is pertaining to the fact that a number of young people are not signing up because they believe that that the information that they provide is actually going to be used as a tracking method. So, for example, they haven't maybe filed their taxes or they haven't done something that they're supposed to do. And I think that a lot of them are under that impression, and I've not heard any feedback as to what the information that's obtained at this point in time for the new Obamacare, what's going to happen with that information?
Yeah. Thank you for that question, Sharon. Interesting.
You know, Sharon, we're finding out that young people don't enroll for a couple of reasons. Number one, because they believe that they're invincible. Now, we never thought that when we were young, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But
it's challenging to break through that mentality.
It is.
Sure. I mean, all young people think, well, nothing's going to happen to me.
Yeah, it is. You know, in my own case, my son, who has Crohn's disease, as I already indicated, had he not had this disease, he would have never enrolled for
insurance.
What's
the other reason people don't enroll, people under 30?
A couple of reasons. The cost, for sure. And Sharon, you're right. There's a lot of misinformation out there. What's going to happen with the data? A lot of people don't like to, you know, a lot of people consider themselves to be off the grid. Nothing happens with the data. When you sit down with a navigator, all the navigator does is take your information, connect up to the IRS just to verify you are who you are and to verify your income, and then that link is broken, and that connection is used to determine what your subsidy is, and then you enroll for insurance. The one big piece of misinformation out there is that the Affordable Care Act is not insurance. The Affordable Care Act is a gateway to insurance companies, to private insurance companies. So when somebody enrolls, they will enroll with either Florida Blue or Aetna or Coventry or whatever insurance company is in that area serving them. They are not enrolling under any kind of government program. It's just a gateway into private insurance companies.
And we're almost out of time, but what are your final pieces of information for people out there listening that we couldn't get through on the phone lines?
Great. Couple of things. I think we need to remember that the enrollment period closes at 12 o'clock tonight. If you are in the system, if you've made a good faith effort to get into the system, the government has afforded a grace period for a period of time for you to complete the process. So what I would suggest is that you go out to 1-800, the telephone number, or you also go out to healthcare.gov, or you come to the enrollment event that's being sponsored up on University Boulevard North today, and you attempt to enroll.
Where's that event? As he looks at his notes.
Right. It's at Jacksonville Total Care, 1126 University Boulevard North, and we're going to have enrollment people there from, well, now, certainly, until midnight tonight.
Tony Pena, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.